We join together in worship once again. May I wish you all a very happy Easter, and may I thank you for your prayers, your cards, your phone calls, and your wishes during my unfortunate time at hospital. Thank you all. Now we come to worship. Our first song, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we worship you today with joy in our hearts and thanksgiving on our lips. When the powers of evil had done their worst, crucifying your Son and burying him in death, you raised him to life again, an act of power giving hope to the world. Lord Jesus, we rejoice that death could not keep you in its grip, that you were raised to life, alive forevermore. You greeted your friends, and now you stand among us in your risen power. Spirit of God, you are always giving life to the people of God, giving birth to the children of God, remodeling us in the image of Jesus, filling us with his love and enabling us with his risen power, that we might be faithful to his way, used by you in the redeeming of your world. Our prayer we come in thanksgiving in the name of Jesus, our risen Saviour. Amen. And our next song, All heaven declares the glory of our risen Lord.
From Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the disciples. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
Let us come before our Lord. He longs to hear our prayers. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for this day that dawns upon a new creation, this day of life, this Easter day. Lord, you are among us. Hear our prayers for our brothers and sisters. We pray that the light of your resurrection may reach every place of darkness. The imagination of the frightened, the anxiety of the rich, the prison of the lonely, the homes of the homeless, the pain of the sick, the uncertainty of the lonely, the victims of COVID, the despair of the defeated, the bitterness of the unloved. May that light illumine the way that leads to wholeness, freedom, and love. We pray for the faith of the church. May we live by nothing less than the truth that you have died and risen. May your followers be recognized for the sake of your truth and their confidence in your power to bring life out of death. We pray for each other, and Lord, we know and we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we sing, God sent his son, they called him Jesus.
Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and the joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll find life's fine. Final war with pain and
The title of the message for today, Easter Sunday, is The Son of Man Triumphs. Christianity is in its very essence a resurrection religion. Dr. John Stott said, a concept of resurrection is at its heart. If you remove it, Christianity is destroyed. And I also remember that Cliff Richard said that it was the truth of the resurrection that convinced him of the Christian faith. So I have three thoughts for you from Luke 24. One, there were perplexed hearts. Jesus opened the tomb. We do not know at what time Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, but it must have been very early. The earthquake and the angel opened the tomb, not to let Jesus out, but to let the witnesses in. Mary Magdalene was the first at the tomb with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other women. They arrived hoping to finish preparing the Lord's body for burial. But what would have been a sad task was transformed into gladness when they discovered that Jesus was alive. As Mary lingered by the tomb, Jesus himself appeared to her. It was one thing to see the empty tomb and the empty grave and the clothes, but quite something else to meet the risen Lord Jesus. We today cannot see the evidence in the tomb, but we do have the testimony of the witnesses found in the inspired word of God. And we can live out our faith in Jesus and know that he is alive in us. Number two, discouraged hearts. Jesus opens their eyes. Verses 13 to 15. Emmaus was a small village 8 miles northwest of Jerusalem, and we know that two men were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were discouraged. They were discouraged disciples. They had heard about the empty tomb from the women, but did not believe them. They had hoped that Jesus would redeem Israel. God did not do what they wanted him to do. So Jesus graciously appears and walks with them, and he listened to their conversation. Eventually, Jesus opened the word to them, but their real problem was not in their heads, but in their hearts. Jesus opened the scriptures, and later he opened their eyes. As the journey ended, Jesus made as if he would go on alone, but they asked Jesus to come home with them. And at the breaking of bread, which refers to the meal, not the Lord's Supper, but they were having a meal together, and as they broke bread, Jesus reveals himself to them, and then he disappeared from their sight. They then got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Finding the 11 disciples and other believers, they said to him, "It is true, the Lord has risen." Then the two told what happened on the way, how Jesus had an ordinary meal and taken bread and broken it, and that was how they recognized him. And now number three, troubled hearts. Jesus opens their minds. verses 36 to 46. So many exciting things happened that day, and so much was unexplained. You would have expected the believers to have had a great sigh of relief, but instead they became terrified, frightened, and troubled, and Jesus sought to calm them. The first thing he did was to give them his blessing. He said, "Peace be unto you." The God of peace had raised Jesus from the dead, and there was nothing for them to fear. The next thing Jesus did was to calm them, was to show them his wounded hands and feet, and to assure them that he was not a ghost. Jesus even ate some honey and fish to prove to his doubting followers that he was indeed alive and real. And he then invited them to feel his body. The final source of peace for them was that by using the scriptures, the Lord opened their understanding. After all, believers were and now are not being sent to share their own personal experiences, but to share with others the truths of the Word of God. Of course, it's good to share our own personal testimony, but that is when it includes the truths of the Word of God. And number four, joyful hearts. He now opens their lips. Verses 47 to 48. What a privilege to be part of God's kingdom. But privilege always brings responsibility. They were his followers to be witnesses of all that he had said and done. A witness is somebody who sincerely tells what they have seen and heard, and the word witness is used in another way 29 times in the book of Acts. The people, the believers, witnessed for Jesus. As Christians, we are not judges or prosecuting attorneys sent to condemn the world. We are witnesses who point to Jesus and tell lost sinners how to be saved. The last thing our Lord did was to bless his people, and the first thing they did was to worship him. The two always go together, for as we truly worship our Lord, he will share his blessings. Finally, may we remember the promise of Jesus. He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to all places upon the earth." That's our responsibility, isn't it? As witnesses, as believers, celebrate Easter. Yes, of course we must. We know that our Lord is alive. We know that he's working through his Spirit in our lives. But we are to share his love. We are to share the reality of his resurrection with others. We worship a living God, a risen Saviour. May we praise him by living lives that serve him out in the world, telling others of his great and his glorious love. God bless you all. Amen. Now we sing, "Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning."
suffering servant, scorned, ill-treated, victim crucified. Death is through the cross defeated, sinners justified.
Yours the glory and the crown,
the blessing of God our Father, God our Son, and God the Spirit be with us and with all those we love, both this day and forevermore. Amen.